As we enter into tonight, there's, again, a reading specifically for those going through the scrutinies. Last week, we looked at the woman at the well, right? Knowing that we're all the woman at the well. We're all in need of this life-giving water. We're all in need of letting go of whatever's holding us down. And at the moment that Jesus and that woman at the well met eyes and they realized they were so similar, she lets go. And she's able to go tell everyone what Jesus has done for her. She has this freedom in her heart. And same goes for today's reading. All of us sitting here tonight, even including myself, are the man born blind. Jesus, as he passes by, he sees the man born blind as he sees you here tonight, as he knows you by name, and he wants to reveal himself either for the first time or for the 10th time or for the millionth time. These gospels are a part of the living word of God, and they never get old. Jesus uses something kind of strange. He uses a little bit of mud and a little bit of spit, which is kind of strange, right? But what is he doing? The mud is an ancient symbol, says St. Augustine, is a symbol of his divinity. And the spittle is a symbol, the mud is a symbol of his humanity, and the spittle is a symbol of his divinity. So he's reminding us that Jesus is God and human. And he's come to restore all who are blind, all who are born in original sin. If I asked you, were you born in original sin? All of our hands should be raised. But then we know that through baptism is where we are totally cleansed. Jesus takes us and he puts it over his eyes, a place that shows us what sin does. It blinds us to the truth. It blinds us to the light. It makes us live in the darkness. But then after he puts that on his eyes, he says, now go to the pool of Siloam, which means sent, which is a symbol of baptism. To remember that you were washed clean of original sin. You were washed clean and you were adopted into God's family. And isn't it interesting that when someone is baptized, you don't see any changes in them? They don't have any changes, but there's an interior change. Look at the book of Samuel today. It says that man judges by appearance, but the Lord looks to the heart. I'm sure nobody here struggles with judging other people, but like God is really getting at something for us tonight, teaching us how to look deeper at what he's actually doing and also look deeper at ourselves and how we look at others. As soon as the man born blind, as he goes through the washing and he's able to see, people are like, nope, that's not him. Nothing changed. And some say, well, maybe it is him. And as they begin to look at him, and maybe you're at a spot in your Lenten journey, like, I don't know if I'm really changing. I don't know if I'm really changing. And the Lord, through his goodness, he allows our faith to be tested. The Lord, in his goodness, allows our faith to be tested to become more reliant upon him instead of self. So as this man born blind goes around, people are like, how did this happen? And he's getting like just totally pelted with questions, and I've even been peppered with questions. And it's like, what do I have to do to prove to you people? Like, clearly I was blind. I was blind as I was born, and now I can see. The veil has been lifted. I see now. And you would think that people would be so excited that he can now see. And isn't it interesting how you and I fall in that too? Sometimes people change, they have this conversion, and we start pulling them down because maybe they made a mistake. Instead of like remembering what the Lord has done for them. So it's like a person, if they got healed from cancer and they no longer have cancer and we're like doubting that and we're shaming that. He's able to see. And not just like with his eyes, but he's able to see everything differently as he's now baptized. And if you are baptized, there is grace for you that needs to be sometimes tapped back into to know what Jesus really wants from us, what he wants of us, how he sees us, what his plan for our life is. And he gets ridiculed, and he's just going back and forth and back and forth, and there's this frustration in his heart. And as finally, as he gets kicked out of the temple, Jesus is there waiting for him. And when Jesus heard that he'd been kicked out, he found him. And all of us have been in places where we felt frustrated. We felt kicked out because of our faith. That's how we know our faith is actually growing, is actually people tend to push us further away sometimes. And Jesus asks him, do you believe in the Son of Man? Do you have faith in me that I am truly God? And he answered, like, who is he, sir? Because again, remember, he didn't see Jesus. He had to walk to the pool of Siloam that I may believe in him. And just as he did with the woman last week, as he does with the man born blind today, he says, you have seen him, and the one who's speaking with you is he. And then he says, I do believe. He begins to profess his faith, just as we do at every single Mass. When we're at Sunday Mass, we profess our faith. And in that moment, we're in his person. We're in the person of the blind man saying, I do believe. And just notice how he moves, that this movement from blindness to boldness. I love the line in today's gospel when he begins to stick it back to the Pharisees. And some of us, there's an invitation tonight to start standing up for your faith and not allowing other people to dictate your faith. Pharisees come to him and they just say, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? And he's like, bruh, I told you already. Open your friggin' ears, right? He's like, why do you want to hear it again? And then he says the line I just love because he's just sticking it to him. He's like, do you want to be his disciples too? Do you want to be one of his followers too? And then they have to step back because they realize he's being called into deeper intimacy with Jesus. And there's a resistance in their hearts because they judge by appearance. But again, the Lord looks to his heart. And when the Lord sees someone who is blind, this is the first time ever in the history of the world that a person born blind could see, was given sight. We begin to see like what Jesus is actually like. The world has painted so many pictures of what Jesus is actually like. But Jesus, again, he sees him begging, and sometimes that's been us, like, Lord, where are you? If you're real, reveal yourself to me. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of this sin or that sin. But the thing is, notice how the blind man didn't tell him what to do. He let himself be healed by Jesus. He let himself be loved by Jesus. That's where he gets his boldness from, not from anything he did, but he allows Jesus to be the healer. He allows Jesus to be the divine physician. You know, he's not like getting surgery on a table and telling the doctor how to fix him. He's saying, just heal me. He didn't tell Jesus, oh, you missed a spot right here. You missed one right there. He's like, no. He just let himself be healed because he was begging and begging and begging, and that begging led to boldness. So the invitation tonight is to not quit. The invitation is whatever has been difficult in your life, or maybe you've been praying for something, for somebody, and the temptation of the evil one is always to quit. But the Lord never wants us to quit. There's such a need for perseverance. But notice how when he is, you know, is tempted to quit, the Lord is like right there, just waiting for him. Just asking, like, do you believe in me? Do you believe in me? Do you believe in me? He says, yes, Lord, but then what did he do when he said he believed? He didn't just go out and do his own thing. He began to worship. He began to praise Jesus Christ and thank him. Just think of the amount of gratitude that he had in his heart. We don't know his age, but I'm guessing maybe between 18 and 22, college age, just blind, walking around aimlessly, just waiting for someone to notice him. Jesus finally comes, and he heals his blindness. Like, what do you think the amount of gratitude in his heart was? And isn't it interesting how quickly the Pharisees wanted to just question him and push him into doubt? Did it really happen? Did it really happen? Instead of being focused on he was blind and now he sees. Each of us here tonight are being invited to ask the Lord for something, right? We're always here to ask for something and give something. But the question I think tonight is very simple, is will you let Jesus love you as you are? And stop telling him what to do. Next week, we're going to be so blessed to have Bishop Ricken here. And he'll go through the reading of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And one thing that Bishop Ricken has really instilled in me is he had a retreat, and maybe he'll talk about it, but he was on a retreat, and he had to repent on his retreat because he realized that he had been telling God what to do too often. And the Lord rebuked him in his prayer, and the Lord said, remember, you work for me. I don't work for you. How interesting it is when we are in this disposition that we are the ones telling God what to do. But just, what if we just said, Lord, just love me today. I just give you permission. I let go, and I give you permission just to love me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and send me where you want to send me. And if he asks you to go somewhere maybe that you're not comfortable with going, the thing is to have blind trust. Isn't that interesting? To have blind trust. To follow his voice. Just to listen to those promptings. Hey, check in with so-and-so. Hey, invite so-and-so to this. Hey, come to chapel. Spend some quiet time with me. I know it's been hard. I see you. Nothing in your life is unimportant to me. All those promptings are always coming from him. And that's just us letting go and letting him put that spittle, that mud, that healing salve on our eyes so we can indeed see. And then we can worship him and thank him and praise him. And if you just felt things are hard, the invitation tonight is not to quit. And to let the Lord love you in that frustration, to let him love you there. And not tell him what to do, to say, Lord, here I am. I come before you broken. I come before you being able to see blind. And I repent, Lord, of just telling you what to do. Because if we are falling into sin after sin after sin, which leads us to more and more blindness, maybe it's just time that we just let the Lord love us and let him heal us instead of trying to always correct ourselves and heal ourselves. There's not one person here tonight who he doesn't want to help. But you got to let go of something. Just as the woman at the well had to let go, all of us have something we have to let go of, even me. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, as you are so good to us by sending Jesus to save us from all that causes us harm, pray for that grace to let him love us. And we repent, Lord. We repent of any times that we've just been telling you what to do, any time we've denied you or turned a blind eye towards you. Pray for an increase in trust, to know that your way is best. Pray that you surround us with good and holy friends to help us keep our eyes always on Jesus. In a moment, we're going to tell you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that we believe. Pray for the grace to truly worship Jesus as the blind man worshiped Jesus. And may we never stop. We never quit following Jesus and worshiping Jesus. Pray for a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit as we persevere through the upcoming weeks until we get to experience the hope and the joy of the resurrection. Amen.